Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to the Man Cave, episode number 19. My name's Tony Smith. As always, with me, Professor Brandon Crowe. How are you, sir?
Sir, good evening.
How are you doing? All right?
Wonderful. How are you?
Oh, man. Short track racing.
Dude. Fantastic.
Did you get to see any of it during the day?
So, here's what I did. Apparently, there's this app called Fox Sports on the Go or something like that. So I downloaded it, and you can log in to your cable provider through this app. So I literally had it on my phone, tucked underneath the computer at work, and had the Beats in and was able to listen and watch. I mean, wow. I got distracted a little, you know, obviously, you know, but I was able to get away with watching more live than I thought I was going to be able to get away with watching. So I was,
you know. I almost missed it entirely. I did record it, but yeah. I saw a little bit at the end. The most creative one, I saw NASCAR Chasm.
Yes.
He had a thing on Twitter. He said, if you're at work and you can't see anything, you know, go to the bathroom and look it up on Twitter, see what's going on.
Yeah.
And it's called Schwittering.
I like that. I like that.
He is a journalism expert,
he is,
man.
Really,
that's
good.
His own word. That was pretty good.
You know, it's a bummer. Before we get into things, I felt kind of bad just in terms of all the fans. Like our boys at the PETM podcast, they were down there intense.
Brutal.
Pictures with like standing water up to the tables at like the merchandise tents. Like, I mean, there's rain and then there's that.
Yeah.
And that was,
they get hit hard.
Brutal. Yeah. So I feel so bad. You know, it was a lose-lose for everybody. The track lost because they hardly had anybody in the stands for 2 days. The fans out there camping weren't able to really enjoy themselves or anything like that. And then you got a Monday afternoon race. So, you know, no one watched the damn thing live. And it was a great short track racing that really could have helped, you know, maybe I don't want to say bring people back necessarily, but I know people were expecting good things, like we saw at Martinsville, and we got it.
We did.
But on a Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock, no one really got to enjoy it for what they should have.
Yeah, at least live or whatever.
Yeah,
that's the hard thing. Is not, I found out about it. I tried to stay, you know, in the bubble and not listen, and I accidentally heard. I saw one post about the race.
That's not bad.
And it was who won the race.
Oh, so, well. I was going to try the whole bubble thing, and then I'm like, oh, shit, my Twitter's going to blow up like throughout the entire thing.
I stayed away.
Dude,
I was like,
it would have been next to impossible, I think, to stay in the bubble that we got what's going on in Twitter.
I came really close,
you know?
But
that's crazy.
Anyways, I still did get a chance to see it later on that night, but we got another good week, and
next week
even bigger.
I wish we had like a sound effect board because we'd have like the drum roll queued up and some very exciting news. Next week, Landon Castle is on the Lap Traffic Podcast for episode
number 20. Yep,
dude, how freaking awesome
is
that?
That was a retweet thing, so you guys did it.
Yes, you guys helped us get it.
You big time.
So we can't wait to the time is confirmed. Everything's good to go.
Yeah, we've done all
the back end stuff is done.
Everything's all done.
Yes, so we cannot wait to have our first Cup driver on 20 episodes. We didn't know anybody be listening, let alone have a freaking Cup guy. You know, granted, it was, you know, not like he came to us. It was through a, you know, social media contest, if you will, but we'll take it.
Let's stay focused here. He's going to be
on the show.
That's all we need to know there.
So that's
cool. So next week, really looking forward to that one.
Yes. But we'll have to make sure the green room is plentifully stocked.
Yeah. Have to talk to Maria.
Yes.
But we had a little bit of news today.
What? Oh,
hey, the guy that drives the 88 car ain't coming back, I guess, next year. Huh?
Wow, dude. You know, with all the speculation of, like, you know, the whole Matt Kenseth had a press conference set and all this kind of stuff, they kept this one under wraps. Like, I mean, you know, everyone had been talking about it. I mean, I didn't hear anything that there was going to be, you know, any type of conference scheduled for today or anything like that. You know, I understand it completely, and it's...
No, we, you know, so we've had this conversation, you know, months ago, but I would rather have, you know, I'm a Dale Jr. fan. I like Dale Jr., but I would rather have a healthy Dale Jr. as, you know, as a representative of the sport moving forward. He just got married. You know, he owns a team. He, you know, he has nothing left to prove. Nope. I mean, in my eyes anyways. And so, yeah, I know it's got to be hard to make that call, but I'm happy for him. Yeah. I really am.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know there's some fans out there that are, well, you know, disappointed, but they can't drive forever. And, and you know, what would happen if, you know, God forbid, something worse, right? And, I'm okay with it. I'm very
absolutely
happy for him.
You know, I don't know if you saw, I posted a tweet today that said...
I try not to read anything you write, no.
Details. that a Dale Jr. will be able to do just as much for the sport outside of the car as he did inside of the car.
Absolutely.
And we've got a lot of new young talent, and I used a little Toy Story gift of To Infinity and Beyond. Like, the sport's going to be okay.
Yeah.
You know, we've survived Jeff Gordon. We've survived Tony Stewart.
So maybe think of it this way. He's the new Richard Petty.
Sure.
Right.
Absolutely. He's, you know, a huge presence in the garage, right, and on TV and doing things from an ambassador level.
Yeah.
And Junior's, 30 years younger than him. Yeah. I think he'll be able to be just, if not more active than Richard Petty.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying, though. I mean, you know, it's going to take guys like Junior and Tony Stewart and Jeff Gordon to continue the sport on, just in a different role.
Sure.
And just the king being in the pits and being present is a big deal.
Absolutely.
Those guys around, it's important.
Tony, what do we got today, my man?
Man, we have that little Junior thing. We got Bristol coverage. Man, there's some good racing out there. We have with fantasy picks. That's always that's a good subject.
I like
fantasy picks.
And you're going to be extra happy this week, I know.
Crew chief corner.
Right.
We got all kinds of stuff.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Let's get right into it. All right. So the big announcement today, obviously, Dale Jr. announcing after the 2017 season, he will no longer get behind the wheel of the number 88.
You got the numbers.
I got some
too.
Numbers. Yeah. And I, you know, we don't like to do a whole lot of numbers, but I think, you know, Dale Jr. is obviously the most popular driver. I think given some numbers and celebrating the career that he has is definitely worth doing. So after Monday's race at Bristol, he's raced 603 total races, 26 wins, which it's crazy to think 10 of those wins are from restrictor plate racing.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the boy loved Talladega for sure, especially good. Talladega.
He's got two Daytona 500
and two
wins.
Daytona 500
wins.
That's
not small potatoes.
He's got 149 top fives and 253 top tens. 40% of his races, he finished in the top 10.
Yeah.
And I think over the last couple of years with him falling off, those numbers have dropped a little bit. Like, he'd probably be closer to 50 if over the last couple of years where, you know, people have been worried about Junior's performance.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't doubt that at all.
40% top 10, that's awesome.
Yeah.
He's 29th on the all-time win list, which, I mean, that's nothing to, you know, shake your head at there. Like you said, two-time Daytona 500 champ. Now, some of the things that I know the fans are going to be, you know, that are going to complain about. He obviously doesn't have that championship, right? He doesn't have some of the bigger wins like the Coke 600, the Brickyard. When Carl Edwards retired, you know, people were asking him, you know, you almost won that championship. Like, you know, how is it going to be to sleep at night not having that? I think the fans are probably going to take it harder that he never won the championship than he's going to take it.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I agree.
You know?
Yeah,
NASCAR's most popular driver. He's a Hall of Famer all over.
So
right?
Who's the next popular driver?
Chase Elliott.
I think so too.
I mean, who else? He got to be right. You know, Bill Elliott. I mean, it's got Chase Elliott written all over it.
Ties
I think.
Right in.
Bill Elliott held that title for the longest time until Junior took over for
that.
Right?
He did. Yeah, I forgot about that.
So Hall of Fame written all over it, you know, and I think, Tony, one thing I know, at least in a lot of other sports, people talk about, you know, should you be in the Hall of Fame if you don't have a ring or if you didn't do this? He's got a hell of a career that most people would kill for in terms of on-track racing. He's an ambassador for the sport. Sometimes you don't need that championship, I think, to necessarily be considered a Hall of Famer.
I just, like I said before, he has nothing to prove. He's been there. He's done that. He didn't win the championship. Okay.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know, that's you know what, whatever. Barry Sanders never won a Super Bowl. Barry
right.
Sanders was pretty good.
Yeah, right. You know, absolutely, you know, absolutely.
So he's got nothing to prove.
No, Tony. When I was updating our show notes here last minute here because of this announcement that no one was anticipating, I thought it'd be cool. Tony, is there a junior moment that sticks out for you over the years?
You know, I'm glad you asked me this before because I mean, there's a lot. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I told you to prep one.
But I mean, no, I mean, like, I mean, he ran so well in the AC Delco car and so well in the Bud car. And, you know, I mean, there's so many good moments. Daytona 500s, obviously. But here's my favorite moment. It was actually in the movie and the Earnhardt family. But it's when Dale Sr., he took Junior and he took his sister and gave him a late model, rented a track for the day and let him run a late model. And his sister was fast, too. Kelly's real fast.
Yeah.
And so he went out. And he kind of gets out of the car and he says, looks at his time. Hey, track record, Dad, track record. And Senior said, that's right. It's an empty track record.
A little bit now, different when there's some people there, right?
Get in the car and let's see how you do. So I just think
that's
it was,
cool,
kind of,
that's, yeah.
But it's kind of like, that's how
Father,
was.
Son, right.
That's kind
absolutely.
Of how he was. And Junior clearly, you know, proved that he could handle that. So
absolutely.
That's cool. What about you?
Absolutely. For me, it was the 2008 MIS win. I was there. That was a great race to watch. It was very cool. You know, Junior's not my driver. You know, everyone knows who my driver is. But I respect Dale Jr. I love Dale Jr. I love what he's done for the sport. And it's just like if I were to seeing Jeff Gordon win. You know, there are some drivers where even though they're not your driver, when you see them win, you know that you've witnessed something special.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that was special to see Dale Jr. win at MIS. It snapped like a 75 or 76 winless streak for him. It was his first win at Hendrick. So for me, that was that. Now that this announcement came in, it put that into perspective a little bit better as to how cool of a moment that was.
I forgot all about that race, actually. Yeah.
So now, Tony, now that the announcements come out, now what will happen is what I have coined as the irresponsible speculation.
I've been trying to hide from that stuff on Twitter and everything.
You know, the one thing that annoys me, and I saw it today, and I really wasn't even on social media that much today, are the trolls out there that are, I'm never going to watch the sport again. Uh-oh. You know, and it's, you know what? Good. Don't. I don't want you.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
Not that my opinion matters, but, you know, Tony, you've heard just as much as I have on our local sports station when the Tigers throw out Anibal Sanchez and almost tosses a game, and the Lions with what they've done, all these fans call up to the sports radio, and I'm never watching that team again.
Well, I'll give you a better example than that. All right, you're never going to watch a sport again? Oh, okay. You're going to be just like the people that are going to move to Canada? If Trump wins the presidency,
still waiting. I think George Lopez is supposed to be
still
right.
Waiting.
Yeah,
the U-Haul is still sitting out in front of his house, waiting for him to come out.
Yeah,
whatever.
If that's how they want to attract it, whatever, so be it. I mean, it worked. It got us to talk about it. But you know, it's just ridiculous. Like, you know what? Find a new driver. Let the sport grow and develop.
Overreact much?
Right. Yeah. But to go along with our irresponsible speculation, so on top of Junior's big announcement today, Casey Kane, his contract's up in 2018.
Yep.
So obviously Jimmy Johnson, his contract's actually up this year, but I don't think there's anything to worry about out of the Johnson in the 48 camp. Chase Elliott, I don't think he's going anywhere.
No.
So the question comes, does Casey resign? Who takes Junior spot? Does he go and try to build and put two big powerhouses? Tony, you mentioned something before the show.
Well, there's a couple ways that Rick Hendrick's, you know, he's built this and he's not done it by accident.
No.
He's got a plan. So, I mean, honestly, he's got it so good right now. So he's got developmental drivers. Well, I mean, way down the chain. And he's got William Byron right there. He's got Alex Bowman right there. But the fact of the matter is, that's the 88 car in the Hendrick camp, he can grab anybody
sure.
he wants, who truthfully.
Someone came to mind for you there for a minute there, right?
Brad Keselowski. You know, he has not re-signed with Penske. I think that'd be a stretch. I don't think they're going anywhere. But
no.
But you know, the point is he's sitting in a pretty good spot.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to lose Junior, clearly.
No.
But, you know, he's got it pretty good, and he's built his support staff around him and his developing drivers and everything all the way through, and he's sitting pretty good. You know, so you know, I'm thinking Bowman's coming back.
That'd be
the first thing to pop in my mind. But
you know who he's reminding me of right now is the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
In terms of development and not needing to overstretch and have to go, you know, the ball's in his court. It's inflated too, which is. You know, if he wants to go and get a big name, he could go and get a big name. Or if he wants to let Jimmy ride out into the sunset, let Chase develop into the driver that we know he's going to develop into, and let a William Byron or
Alex Bowman,
yeah. You know, like Alex Bowman ran great when he subbed for Junior. Like, he may be more ready to step in and, like you had said, let Bowman come in first and Byron come in if Casey Kane doesn't resign with them.
But there again, I mean, Casey Kane's contract comes up. He can resign Casey. Here's what a great position, right? So here's his decisions. Resign Casey Kane. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Not horrible, right? Like, horrible. Oh my God.
You know, bring up one of your guys that are kicking ass in the Xfinity series.
Yep.
Or go sign any free agent that's out there. Those are his options.
He's got
those
a lot
are
of them.
Fantastic
right?
options.
He's in a great spot. You know, Jamie McMurray. You know, he's I think up at Chip Ganassi after this year. There, like you said, there's a ton of options out there for him. And you know what? None of them are probably bad.
No,
you know,
no, like he's, like I said, clearly, you know, you don't want to lose Junior, but these guys can't drive forever.
Sure.
So and he knows that.
Yeah.
And so you have plans in place to. Do all these things. So
absolutely.
Anyways.
All right. Tony, I put when this came out, I put a little thing up on Twitter taking a poll. Will Junior win a race this year?
I got called out already.
Did you? Oh, well.
I got called out.
So
who was it that? Oh,
John Holliday.
Yeah, in Japan.
In Japan, yeah. Yes. He called you out.
Yeah, he said this fits into one of Tony's conspiracy theories. Junior's going to win a race. Watch.
72% of those that voted on the poll feel that Junior will win a race this year. Yeah. And you know what? If the announcement hadn't come out today that he was retiring, based on current performance, I wouldn't be surprised if he hadn't won a race.
Yep.
But now that this came out, you know, this obviously isn't something that he decided yesterday when he hopped out of the car. So having to keep something like this under wraps and you know, that adds to the pressure and the stress of, man, I just want to get this off my chest and get it out. Now that he does, the pressure's off for him. He can just go out and do what he does for the rest of the season. So that the reduction of stress there, you might be able to go and pull one out. At this point now, I wouldn't be surprised
if
he did.
Well, they can just throw Hail Marys.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, same thing happened with Stewart last year, when he won at Sonoma. You know, I don't think too many people were expecting that based on his performance.
Nope. And Sonoma's a tough track, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Real tough track.
Yes, sir.
Do you see any of the Xfinity race?
I saw bits and pieces, I'm not going to lie. I know that Eric Jones won the race.
He did.
I know that Kyle Larson.
He looked so good all weekend.
He had a good car at Cup, too.
Man,
like, he was driving the car, man.
Man, he is pretty darn impressive. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. This was our second Dash for Cash race, which almost was looking like they weren't going to be able to run for that third part, the third stage, with the way the rain was starting to come in. You know, I was glad they were able to actually go back out and race for that Dash for Cash. Our first three cars were Cup drivers, Eric Jones, Ryan Blaney, Daniel Suarez. But again, these aren't our usual Cup guys that are running Xfinity. So, you know,
those are still younger guys that just came out of the Xfinity series a year or two ago. Quite frankly, Elliott Sadler was fourth, and he's got more Cup experience than those guys do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, truth told.
Great run. for rookie Daniel Hemric.
That was really good.
He not only did he win a stage, he brought home a top five. He was a lap down at one point and actually came back and won the Dash for Cash.
He was lap traffic.
He was lap traffic. And he that's a hell of a run for a rookie at Bristol.
Yep.
Under all the conditions that they were facing.
But you know, a lot of these guys grow up on these short tracks, know, like Eric Jones, and that's in their wheelhouse.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, running the mile and a half, that's something that they didn't grow up doing. But Bristol is more, you know,
home track.
It's more home field. Yep. Sure.
Tony, do you see Ryan Blaney's car failed post tech for a left front too low?
Yeah.
Please enlighten me.
Well, you know, here's the thing, and I don't understand it either. So, from everybody that I'm talking to, and I'm digging pretty deep, trying to find an answer. I mean, having a car too low is an advantage. I mean, you have a car, the lower it is, you know, there's no air getting under it, and you're going to be faster.
Right.
And these guys are consistently coming in too low, and NASCAR does not feel that that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, lug nuts are, but that's not. And I don't understand it, but hey, man, if they're just going to give you a slap on the wrist, what the hell?
Yeah,
Drop it.
I'm curious to see, you know, and that's the thing, you know, it'd be one thing if his car failed post in the Cup race, but okay, so he failed post race in the Xfinity race. Now, whoever is going to be the young gun coming in next week to race, you know, may have penalties to face and, you know, may set them back a little bit. And I get that's a gripe that some people have.
Yep, yep.
Have
well, because it'll cost them points. Well, it doesn't matter.
Yes.
If you're just in there, you know, running a race or two.
Yeah.
So.
Tony, did you see the scuffle between Jeremy Clements and Ross Chastain?
I didn't see it. I saw it later.
Yeah.
But,
good Lord.
That's some short track racing, pushing and shoving. That'll do it. But
it's in the care center getting treated for a swollen lip.
I know,
like,
right?
That's intense.
Yeah.
And I swear, if NASCAR comes out and finds them, they can't, right? They can't do that.
No,
right?
I heard that Kyle Busch went over and asked him, "How did you land that punch exactly? Show me exactly. How did you have your feet set?
Right.
How did you do this exactly?" So,
love it.
Yeah.
No real big changes in the standings or anything like that. Elliott Sadler's got a 16-point lead over William Byron, which is awesome. Justin Allgaier's been running good. He almost grabbed the second Dash for Cash, which would have put him in contention to sweep it and win a million, but fell short there at the end. And Daniel Hemric, rookie. You got two rookies in the Xfinity standings in the top five, Bubba Wallace in sixth. I'm enjoying watching the Xfinity races.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I don't get to watch as much of those live, or, you know, I've got it on as background noise while I'm cleaning you know, the house or doing yard work and stuff like that, now that the weather's finally freaking beautiful up here now. But yeah, you know, it's a bummer. You know, if NASCAR by marriage wasn't chirping in my ear, I could watch it a little bit more. But I digress. I'm going to hear that one.
Yeah,
let me tell you.
Yeah,
and I'm not editing it up.
Yeah, good luck with that.
All righty, sir. You ready to talk some Cup?
Let's do it.
All right. So Jimmy Johnson. Wow, God, you know, I just wish he could put a good solid race or two together. You know, it just kills
nice.
Me that,
that'd be
that
nice.
He, oh, God, you know, two back-to-back wins after a six race winless streak just isn't good enough for me of saying that he's got this car. Jeez,
but you know,
shut
but,
up about that.
But I mean,
that,
yeah, but honestly, I mean, well, they were way off.
They were.
I mean,
way
I
off.
Mean, that first month or so, they weren't even close.
No.
Well, they figured it out now. I think they got this
Well, and
now.
To,
but
and to
and
be
knew
fair,
they would.
No, sure. Well, to be fair, I think especially Texas, they had the car dialed in. And this Bristol, the car got better each time they came in and pit. Jimmy's car got better. Now, to be fair, had Kyle Larson not had a speeding penalty and Truex not had a speeding penalty, does he win the race? No, maybe
know,
not.
Because Kyle was awful fast.
But Jimmy probably would have had top five.
Yeah,
you know, so
yeah,
a
sure.
win followed up with a top five still would have been
that's
awesome
part of
too.
The game. Right?
Absolutely,
that's part of the game. You know, if he didn't get his penalty, he might win. And you
yeah,
know, and
yeah,
if
yeah,
Kevin
can,
Harvick,
what if everything?
If Kevin Harvick didn't get, you know,
sure,
a penalty,
at Atlanta,
yeah, at Atlanta, he would have won. You know,
Kyle Larson literally reminded me. When I heard on TV, you know, they say that that Kyle Larson had the speeding penalty. I'm like 74 laps to go at a half mile track. This has Kevin Harvick written all over it at Atlanta with the speeding penalty.
Yep.
With I think it was 30 to go at
right.
that one. You know, like you had the car to beat, and it was a driver error on pit road.
Well, that's, you know, that's part of it. That's, but I mean, you know, it's if this and if, you know, sure, whatever. I mean, if NASA calls me, I'll be an astronaut, but that ain't going to happen either.
Wow.
So, you know, it, you can't live on that. That's just how,
sure,
that's
absolutely
what happened, and you have to, yeah, have to move on. So,
Tony, eight races, six different winners. I like that.
I do too.
I don't think that's obviously going to continue that ratio there, but the longer that stretch of winners and races continues to be like that, the more exciting the last few races leading into the chase are going to be, the more exciting stages are going to be. So I am tickled to death that we've only had two repeat winners through eight races.
Yeah, well, you're starting to see the cream is rising to the top.
Oh, sure.
Which is going to happen. But there's still some drivers that, yeah, haven't shown up yet.
Yeah, absolutely. I was bummed that qualifying got rained out.
Yeah,
I do,
so was I.
And I'll be honest, I don't watch every qualifying. You know, I mean, we got a life and we don't get paid for this. But Bristol is definitely a race that I like to watch qualifying.
I have had the honor of being in the middle of that,
that's
of the
awesome
infield watching qualifying.
That's so cool.
That's
dude.
Way
that's
cool.
That's awesome. But yeah, let's see here. See, we've covered a lot of this already. Fun fact, Kyle Larson led the first 250 laps. The last person to lead the first 200 laps at Bristol was Cale Yarborough, and he ended up winning the race and leading all 500 laps.
That's, you know, you told me that before, and
yeah,
I can't even believe that. That's, I can't, that's,
I can't,
wow,
put that into perspective of leading every. I mean, to have the cautions fall your way to where you don't have to worry about other cars short pitting, you know, and I don't, you know, back in the day, we didn't have that type, you know, of short pit strategy play in as much as we do, I think, today with, you know, fuel mileage and the way the cars are set up now. You had a lot more green flag runs at some of these tracks, not Bristol necessarily, but, you know, it. Not that it was commonplace, but Michigan was known to go caution free every once in a while,
yep,
you know,
it does.
But to lead all 500 laps at a place like Bristol,
that's remarkable.
That's nuts.
That's remarkable.
I think the last person to lead every lap of a race was Jeff Burton at the New Hampshire testing restrictor plate race.
I remember that. And
17
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
And that sucked for everybody except Jeff
Except
Burton.
For him, yeah. Tony, anything else catch your eye there, sir?
You know, just a lot of good young drivers. I mean, you know, you're seeing different names up there. Allmendinger had a good run going. Honestly,
yeah,
honestly, for a while, I mean, I was watching Landon Cassel. He was running 11th
he was
for a
yeah,
while.
He
you
was
know,
up
I mean,
there.
He was running. He had a good, strong run going. So,
yeah.
I like it. Just, it's kind of like road course racing. It mixes it up a little bit.
I
it's not the guys that just hit the gas and drive away
and
from everyone.
Sure. Yeah, no, there's skill. You know, you got to have some skill
right
with it. I really hope that the August Bristol race gets to run schedule distance, schedule time without any issues.
Yeah,
because
be awesome
under the lights, with the way these cars are racing, that's going to be a hell of a race.
But,
sir,
you know, I thought they did a good job, though. They, you know, they got that low groove in. You
they
know,
did,
they,
yeah. They put a little.
They
put that environmental gas and glue down.
Yeah,
you know,
well, yeah,
real
it's,
friendly, real.
It's, but it's yeah. It's VHT. It's called. It's actually comes over from the drag racing world. They put that down before they do a burnout.
Yeah,
and that gets the tire hot and sticky. It's actually in the drag racing world. It's called pimp juice. Yeah, so
Nelly had a song about that.
I'm not making it up,
awesome,
but that's what it's called. But that's what they put down. But I thought they did a great job getting. I mean, with that much rain.
Yeah,
I thought they did a good job.
Absolutely. Let's see here. Another fun fact. I'm filled with them today.
You're filled with something.
I'm on my second sippy cup. Kyle Larson has finished in the top 10 15 out of the 16 stages. That's some consistency there,
that
my
boy's
man.
Boy's running good.
You know, and that type of consistency, wins are going to come. And potentially even a championship if you can continue to run like that. Tony, I felt bad for the 18 car, and I don't say that too often, but I felt bad for the 18 car. He had solid cars in practice. I pulled up the practice times and stuff like that, and he had what could have been the car to beat.
He's always fast there.
You know, and I think, and this is something I didn't realize, maybe I did, but I didn't put it in perspective. Bristol doesn't have garages.
No.
So these cars sat outside, and it's one thing to sit out in a, you know, a sprinkle of rain, but I mean, that Did it impact the car?
It doesn't help.
Okay.
I mean, right. I want to keep water in as far away from water my, and moisture, my electronics as I can possibly get it.
But. Yeah. I mean, I know I've dropped a spilled a sippy cup on a computer and that shot that thing to shit.
How'd that work?
You know, I can't imagine a car sitting out there.
In 2 inches of rain.
Yeah, yeah. You know, so I felt bad for him because, you know, it's just some of these drivers, like the 18, the 20, the 11, the 88, you know, these cars that we would expect to be pulling off top fives and top tens, they're not there.
No.
And we're going to get into that in a little bit. But, Tony, what happened with the 21 and with a...
I don't know. You know, I think I don't know about a steering pump or something weird in there, and I never heard any more. They've been pretty tight-lipped about it, and I don't know what it, you know, truthfully, it could be just a bad batch of parts.
Sure.
And that happens.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You buy 20 of them and you just got a bad batch, and that can happen. So, but those are guys that I was looking forward to seeing Blaney and Kozlowski.
I took Blaney. I was expecting good things from Blaney this week.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed is we've had a lot of mechanical issues this year. You know, was it Dylan didn't even get to start the race last week, you know, and had to pull it in for a snapped.
The suspension broke in the back. Yeah.
You know, like there have been some odd mechanical issues this year so far.
They have.
Great run for Stuart Haas. The number four brings it home third. And Clint Bowyer, man. Brought it home second.
Second place.
I think it's just common anticipation. Like, you expect a caution to come out with, like, 10 to go at Bristol. And I think he might have had something for Johnson had he been able. You know, he had a one-second lead or, you know, differential that he had to make up that you just weren't going to do. But solid run by them. 41 can't catch a break. You know, it's like winning the Daytona 500 is almost like beating on the cover of Madden football. Like you're in a curse or something with the way the 41's been going. But Tony, some good finishes by Roush.
Hey, how'd the 10 car do? Speaking of Stuart
Haas. I'm sorry, who? Yeah. Oh, the 10. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me look back in my notes here. Oh, no. You got something there? What'd she do here?
I only have the top 25.
Oh, yeah,
so.
Didn't make the list.
Nope. Okay. All right, moving right along. All right, yeah, Roush Fenway did run well. 9th and 11th.
That's awesome.
They're getting better. I mean, they're better results all the time.
You've got to have realistic expectations. And if they can pull off top 10s and even top 15s.
That's moving in the right direction.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so I thought, there was a lot of good runs, and I like short track racing, I think.
Absolutely.
So, now, what do you think about this? So, I think, you know, obviously the sport's evolving. I was just thinking about this today. You know, and the short track races are getting so good. And in the, you know, the road courses are, people are liking those more and more. Is it kind of moving away from the super speedway mile and a half? I mean, the mile and a half track was hot in the 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, is it moving kind of away from that?
It's a good question. I think so. I mean, it I know.
It's what it looks like to me
does.
On the outside. I don't know.
I people either love or hate the restrictor plates. I enjoy them. I think they're fun. Different. You know, the mile and a halfs and the 2 mile tracks, you know, maybe with this car set up, you know, the leaders get that clean air. They're gone. You know, people don't pay attention to the battle for 12th and 13th, even though it's probably a great battle. Maybe it's evolving to that, you know, maybe. Who knows? Maybe over time we'll get a couple new ones added on there or something
like
that.
No, I'm just curious. You know, I mean, because it just seems like there's so much good, conversations around these short tracks.
Yeah.
And you just don't hear that after they leave, you know, whatever.
The mile and a half,
I was just curious.
Yeah, I like
total,
it.
Total sidebar there.
I love it.
Anyways,
I love it. I love it.
Veered off course for a second. Sorry.
Yes, sir. Not a problem.
Want to hit some social media?
Yes, sir, I do. All right. Make sure you check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Check us out on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow us on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download our shows on iTunes and Podbean. Make sure you download. That helps our numbers, and we really like to watch our numbers grow.
We got over 6,000
downloads now. 6,100. It's awesome. I love it. I love literally checking and watching that thing grow. We're just under 50 more followers on Twitter to go for that Martin Truex Jr. autograph that I honestly, I'm not gonna lie. I was greedy and thought we'd have given that thing away like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But
I did too.
Anyways,
we're close.
We're getting there. And I got a feeling maybe next week after we get Landon Castle on we're
going
to hit that 1,000 mark on Twitter.
Not going to hurt.
Nope. Some shout outs here. John James from Mount Sydney, Virginia. Brad Ruffini, who is actually from our hometown of Warren, Michigan. My hometown of Warren, Michigan. He went to the same high school that Zaylin went to that I would have gone to. So, he's been following us, so that's very cool.
That's way cool.
Yes.
Yeah. Welcome to the show.
Yes, sir. Some new Twitter followers. Kelly Smith from North Carolina at
The
Smith Big, right? Or the X Smith, big Denny Hamlin fan. Eric Bennett at Eric Bennett 24 from Pennsylvania, big 24 fan, obviously. And Tony, this one was really cool. I got really excited when I saw this follow come through. Napa Racing actually followed us, which I thought was way cool.
Wow.
They
know who we are.
They know who we are. We came across their channel somehow, which is very cool.
Yes,
sir. If you've been to a race or you've got a cool collection, whatever you got, you want to send us some pictures to get us up on our website, feel free to send them over. We've got some cool, not breaking news in terms of the logo, but some things have been solidified. They're with the developer, and they're coming soon.
Yeah, so is Christmas. Yeah. You know,
It'll be here before Christmas.
Yeah,
I promise you that one.
Snail's pace, but we're getting there, guys. Yeah,
it'll hit here sooner than later.
Yeah, it'll be cool.
Yeah,
it's going to be
cool.
Really
well
cool.
Worth the wait.
Yeah, it will be.
Thank you
for your patience.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see. If you've got anything you want to send us to showcase in the man cave, P.O. Box 725-275, Berkeley, Michigan, 48072. Tony, speaking of Berkeley, Michigan today, you told me about a little snafu over at the high school today.
Yeah, that wasn't
cool. Good Lord.
That wasn't cool.
It was
weird. So at the local high school, I mean, this is like, what did we, like, I don't know, we're in the top 500 best school districts in the country kind of thing. Real small town, with, you know, 2 square mile, quiet little burb. And one of the secretaries goes into work this morning, checking her voicemail. Oh, on the voicemail, there was a bomb threat.
That's crazy.
On a voicemail.
To Berkeley High School.
Yeah.
From New York, I heard.
Yeah. From, yeah. So
you know what
so,
I heard?
What's that?
I heard on Fox 2 News that the people that were that stupid, obviously, if you're going to call in a bomb threat to a high school, that they thought they were getting the Berkeley University in California.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Right?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Dumbasses.
Who leaves a voicemail?
Right?
Right. And anyways, clearly nothing happened.
Yeah,
but,
that's nuts.
You know, they, you know, evacuated school and all this.
The kids
you
were
know.
Happy.
Yeah, yeah. So for a second there, I mean, there was every cop and everything, you know.
All five.
But there was more than I thought we had.
Well,
I know
the state police got involved,
yeah,
too, because
yeah,
I think that becomes a federal
investigation. Yeah, ATF and
yeah.
everyone else did. Yeah. And it briefly,
it's a waste of taxpayer dollars.
Briefly crossed my mind to rob the 7-Eleven.
Oh, Jesus.
But I didn't follow through on that. But
good call.
I'm just saying, they were busy.
Good call.
You know, I mean.
Tony, would you like to hear some fantasy news?
I am all about fantasy news.
All right. Well, so here's some interesting. Half of the league did not score any points, so it would have been a great day for me to capitalize, but of course I didn't do that. I tried to get ballsy, and that didn't work for me. No one picked the 48. Our boy Rich at URFWI was the only guy to pick Clint Boyer, who finished second. And he's ended up finishing in second place like 5 times through 8 races already.
Wow.
So he's definitely got the Kyle Larson effect going on. Tony, you got your wish. Cody didn't get any points this week.
Thank you, Cody.
He's still in first, but he's only got a 5-point lead, and you're holding second.
The crew chief's
with
coming.
65. Our boy Rich is in third with 60. Three-way tie for fourth with 55, and I'm holding strong in 10th place with 20 points.
Got it nailed down.
I got
there
it.
We go.
I'm good. Thanks to everyone for playing. If you haven't, when you send me the picks for this week, please make sure you include who your favorite driver is. We're going to try to include that with the prize that we're going to give, which we haven't announced what the prize is. So the mere fact people are still just playing blindly, I think, is freaking awesome.
Well, yeah.
But
Well, we're going to have the whole year to build this package.
Oh, it's going to be.
It's going to be.
And it's not just first place. We're going to give something away to, you know, a few people.
Not to 10th place.
Not to 10th place. No, no, because that's like 20 people because there's so many people tied. So, yeah, no. But, yeah, we're definitely going to make it worth your while if you're in the top five, let's say. All right. So that's fantasy. On to the next little thing I threw together here. Tony, looking at the standings, there's a lot of guys, like we mentioned, that aren't getting those finishes that we thought. And there's a lot of guys that, if the chase were to start tomorrow, would start. You know, cars like the 14, the 1, the 77, Eric Jones, the 6, Stenhouse. Those are all guys that are currently in the chase, which some of those guys I would not pick. So the question I'm asking you is, who's able to maintain this momentum and who isn't? Do guys like Casey Kane, Matt Kenseth, Austin Dillon, Dale Jr., Dinger, Buescher, all guys that have made the chase at one point or another, Tony, who gets in, who doesn't get in? Where are you at with
what's going on right now? I got to believe that Kenseth, you know, moves in. I got to believe that Suarez makes a move here at some point.
Oh, wow.
The guys that I'm surprised that are in there a little bit, you know, like McMurray. I mean, obviously a good driver, but, you know, let's see if he can hang on.
You know, McMurray's made it, I think, quite a few. So once they moved it to 16, I think he's nickeled and dimed his way in. He never really gets too far, you know, past the elimination rounds. But he's doing
better than just nickel diming his way in.
No,
he's running real good.
Yes. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, it's a longevity thing. So, but I mean, you got to put your money on some of these guys like Kenseth and, you know, I mean. And even Dillon. So
sure, you know, for me, I'm right there with you with Matt Kenseth. I think he gets in. You know, can Eric Jones as a rookie hold on? You know, he's sitting in 12th right now. Well, is he going to be able to stay in the top 16? You know,
young man,
if he runs
good.
Like he run, you know, it's possible. You know, Clint Bowyer's running great. I expect to see him up there. Does Trevor Bayne hold on? Honestly, I'd say no on that one.
I'd say Trevor Bayne would fall off.
The
longevity.
Yeah, absolutely. Does Chris Buescher make it back in? Probably not. You know, it was I don't want to say fluke, but, you know, things played in his favor at a rain short and Pocono race, you know, which is fine. Hey, that's part of the game, too, you know.
Hey, speaking of Chris Buescher, can we talk about Chris Buescher
absolutely.
For a second? Because they got this huge monsoon.
Oh, yeah, this is really cool.
Bristol.
Yes.
And I'm watching on Twitter. So on Sunday, and people are, you know, they have to leave there. Yeah, they got to go to work, and they're pulling out of the campground and they're getting stuck. Chris Buescher was out there helping people get out of their campsites.
That's just top notch guy. Right?
Yeah, that's awesome. A guy that he doesn't have to get out there and that. But he's just like, hey, these people need help, and he went out and he did it.
Absolutely,
and, man. Big hats off to Chris Buescher.
Cool.
That's really cool.
And you just saying that reminded me. Did you see the thing that Joey Logano has set up and started to do? He brought a kid to the racetrack. I don't remember his name, but he's. I believe terminally ill. They got him a custom fire suit. They put his name on the car.
I didn't see this.
The two of them sat in the stands and watched the Xfinity race together. Before the race, during driver intros, you know, he was talking to all the drivers and stuff like that. And it's a new foundation that Logano started, almost like a Make-A-Wish kind
it's
of thing.
Stuff.
Dude, it literally is giving me goosebumps just talking about that
you
right
know
now.
Those,
it's
I
fantastic.
I mean, those are the good guys, right?
Absolutely.
And then there's a garage full of those guys.
Absolutely,
you know,
yeah. But no, it's just something that is really cool.
Yep.
Let's see here. So back to the thing, you know, does you know, right now, Kurt Busch is actually out of the top 16, but because of his win, you know, as long as he's in the top 30, you know. Yeah. So, but if it wasn't for that Daytona 500 win, Kurt Busch would be in this picture.
He's working for it.
You know, I think it's interesting you picked Daniel Suarez in 22nd to potentially make his way up in there.
He's just got too much talent, and he's got too good a car.
Sure. You know, Dale Jr. in 24th, A.J. Allmendinger in 26th. You know, I wasn't expecting Dinger to go pull off top fives left and right, but I really thought this was going to be a good year for that camp, and hopefully they can rebound a little bit. You know, I think maybe once they get to Sonoma, boy loves his road courses.
Road
you know, maybe that
right
might light a fire underneath him a little bit there. So, very cool. All right, sir. You got anything else there?
Nope, that's it. Great race. I mean, you know, love me some short track racing. That's all I can say about that.
Tony, you ready to go work?
I am ready to go to work.
Let's do it. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith. All right, welcome to the 8th edition of the Crew Chief Corner with the Crew Chief Tony Smith. If anyone has a question for Tony, use his old Twitter account at Crew Chief Tony.
It's not new
or
anymore.
Or the hashtag Ask Crew Chief Tony. So I stand corrected. I have to give I gotta take blame here. So last week, Tony asks me, how many followers do I need before this isn't new? And I literally, half second, 100. And after the show, Tony pulls out his phone and shows me that he had like 125 followers. So excuse me, my bad.
I got like 140, so oh, no,
ooh,
man.
Ooh. So Tony's account is no longer new.
But you can still hit me up there.
It's worn out. Yes. So it's broken in. Yes. So, but feel free to send him any questions. Tony, today's question comes to us from our other nurse, Stacy at I Love Junior 88. What do you make of Kyle Busch's continued tire issues and his grunt with Goodyear?
You know, a lot of this, I'm not going to lie, it's a lot of it's self-inflicted. It's the way that he likes the car set up. He goes with an aggressive setup. And, you know, it's one of those things, like the way that he sets up the car and he likes to drive the car. You know how you get around the track really fast is setting it up this way. You know how you blow a tire is setting it up this way. So what he does, he likes to have a lot of what's called negative camber. And for the layman terms, so it's the passenger side front wheel. So let's picture it just flat. Now push in the very top of it towards the engine so that it's tilted in, and most of the pressure is on that inside couple inches of the tire. So it wears out that inner shoulder of the tire, and that's exactly what he's having problems with. So that's the challenge that he's got right now, is he's really pushing this setup. That's what he likes, but you know, it's a different aero package. It's a different, you know, the different tracks, different, you know, they're doing putting rubber and chemicals down and all those things. And, you know, it changes all that stuff. So you can't get as aggressive with it now. And there's a lot of other guys that
risk
are running.
Risk versus reward on how you're set up.
It's a risk reward thing, but there's a lot of other guys that are running on the same tire.
Yep.
They're not having these problems. So I think he's just got to figure out how to go fast, but dial that setup a bit. Just not quite as aggressive, you know, and find that he's got to find that balance.
I'd be curious his differential in his air pressure at the start of the race and at this, you know,
oh, yeah.
at
you're
the
running
pit stops.
Low, you're running low, you know, air pressures.
How much lower than everybody else is he potentially running that air pressure?
So if you're running low air pressures, you're pushing the crap out of the negative camber. So like I said, if you know, however wide the tire, you know, you're leaning on the entire right front is on that inner 2 inches of the tire.
Yeah.
Bad things are gonna happen.
Absolutely. Tony, got one more question. Hugh, our friend Hugh at Bucky515, is the 2017 car damage rule, the 5-minute clock and all that, is that actually saving teams money, or do you think they're spending it somewhere else? And do you think this has impacted and helped the smaller teams at all?
You know, if it has, it's negligible. It's pennies, in my opinion. I don't, you know, yeah, they all have a crash cart. They all have those bits and pieces, and they have the tools and all. But they have those parts and pieces. They have those tools in the shop anyways. I don't see where this is a big deal. And truthfully, we haven't even seen this 5-minute thing really come into play and affect.
No.
You know, many people.
No. Nope.
I don't know. So, whatever money they save, it's about as much as they would save on dinner, skipping a dinner.
Sure.
And they're going to spend it somewhere else.
We're not going to get a thing at the end of the year of, hey, you know, here's what we spent in parts and all this last year for on-race issues, and here's what we didn't spend. We're not going to see an accounting spreadsheet for any of these teams. NASCAR is not going to come out and say, hey, team saved X amount of dollars.
I think they use that as part of a... You know, the reason why to do it was part of the sales pitch.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's they already have these parts for these cars. Okay.
Yeah.
They build cars every day in their shop. They have these parts.
Sure.
And of course they have tools.
Right.
So if they're saving money, I haven't seen where it is unless, you know, they have gold bars underneath that thing somewhere. I'm missing it. But thanks for the questions, guys.
Absolutely.
Very good questions.
Keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Yeah, keep them coming.
Guys are
for sure.
Making them do his, making them work.
Yeah, that's okay.
Absolutely.
I like this stuff.
Hell yeah. All right, on to the odds, Tony. So Last week, I set Joey Logano as the favorite for Bristol at plus 500. He came in at plus 750, so I wasn't too far off there.
Nope.
Kenseth, I put at plus 700. I thought he was going to have a breakthrough race. They actually set him at plus 2200.
Jeez, that would have been a good day.
Kyle Busch, I put at plus 750. They actually put him in at plus 275, which means they took in a lot of money from him and made a lot of money on him. Brad Keselowski, I hit right on the money at plus 750. Kevin Harvick, I put at plus 1,000. He came in at plus 900, oh, so yeah. I wasn't yeah, too bad there. Blaney, I put at plus 1,500, and he came in at plus
25. Any idea where was Jimmy?
I have it, but I don't have it readily available, and I don't want to have some dead air space.
Yeah, no,
so,
that's okay.
Yes, I didn't think to go back. I should have gone back and looked at that. Richmond, coming up this week.
Another good track.
Another good track. Now, Tony, I'm not being a homer, but I haven't said anything about Kevin Harvick in terms of winning all year. True?
True.
True?
That's true.
Okay. I think Kevin Harvick gets a win this weekend.
Okay.
Okay. So I am putting Kevin Harvick as my favorite at plus 500. I'm putting Denny Hamlin at plus 850. Brad Keselowski at plus 1,000. Clint Bowyer impressed me so much. I'm sure I'm going to be a little bit off with his here, but I think I put him at plus 1,100. Now, I did put Jimmy Johnson on this one. I put him at plus 1,500, which I know that is extremely high, and I would guarantee you all the sites probably have him around the 400 to 500
range.
Yeah,
that's where I would put him.
But he's not going to win three races in a row. I'm calling that, too. So because I don't feel he's going to win three in a row, I'm putting his odds at a little bit higher than what they're going to come out and set his odds at. So, those are the odds. Don't take my word for it.
You've actually been pretty accurate.
I'm not bad. I wish I could frickin' do something on DraftKings. That would really be helpful.
I've been staying off DraftKings.
Have you? Dude, I didn't do one for Texas, and I sent you a text Monday. I'm like, man, I kind of like this couple lineups I had here.
And they look good.
They looked. I have not hit on DraftKings. I mean, and I'm not looking to, you know, win thousands of dollars here, but I'm looking, you know, to hit a couple hundred bucks every weekend is what I was doing a couple years ago. And that's
Bristol's a tough one though, man. It's just so
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, so many different things can happen at Bristol that
Tony, did you before we wrap up here, I could be way off on this one. And I'm curious to our listeners, when you guys listen to the show, let me know if I was hearing something that I thought I was hearing or not. But to me, when I listened to that race, Jeff Gordon seemed so pissed off with DW. Did you pick up on any of that at all?
Yeah, a little bit. So I think part of it is, you know, Daryl's got his shtick.
Yeah.
But his baseline of information is not as current as Jeff's.
Sure.
And I think when he says something, Jeff is quick to correct him.
Yes. Yeah. And it seemed to me like every time Jeff was like trying to correct him with something, he got more and more frustrated. Like, dude, shut up. You're wrong. Like, I don't know. It's just something like it really just kept sticking. And every time, and as the race went on, I kept listening for it more and more. So I didn't know if I was trying to create something that wasn't there, but
yeah, they're still trying to work things out together.
Yes.
You know, that they'll be fine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you want to hit social media one more time before
yes,
we go?
Yes, sir. Check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast, Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Download our shows. Check us out. Make sure you check out last week's episode with NASCAR Chasm. Big thanks to him for being
really
on.
Cool.
We had a lot of fun with him. And next week,
Landon Castle, driver of number 34, Loves Travel Center.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man.
That's going to be fun. We can't wait to do that. We got some good questions lined up and ready to roll for him. So, yes, sir.
So thanks for joining us again here in the NASCAR Man Cave. Be sure to tune in next week, Landon Castle, and we will see you next week.
See ya.